This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We've got breaking news all over the place. Don't let anyone ever tell you that nothing great happens at night. Come on, we got the best hours on the whole network. Not only do we now know that Case Keenum intends to sign with the Denver Broncos in free agency. Happy New Year to Case. Good for him. I can't wait to see the terms of the deal. But we've also just seen the news pop up in the last hour that former Jaguars wide receiver Allen Robinson intends to sign with the Chicago Bears when free agency commences on Wednesday. So those are two big pieces, two big dominoes to drop. And this is the legal tampering period. This is just the run-up to the actual free agency and the New Year's celebration. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What are your thoughts? Weigh in on Facebook, too. We'll have a spot up there where you can talk about and react to this news that's only just broken in the last couple hours. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This is where the cool people hang out. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Our phone number is 855-212-4227, and we're going to get right back to your thoughts on free agency. Plus, I've got some great nerd alerts for March Madness to get you ready. We've got the After Hours Bracket Challenge. We've also got some news from the NBA as well as from the NHL. So there's a lot to do. However, the next few minutes, all about Team USA women's hockey. Take yourself back to that amazing night. And I hope that you watched it live like we did here in studio. But that amazing night, one phenomenal battle between Canada and Team USA for the gold medal in Pyeongchang.
Rooney the stop, and it comes out to center ice. Right to LaRocque, who fires it right back in. The Americans have a player breaking. It's Monique Lamoureux. She's in alone. She shoots. She scores! Ties the game with 6:21 to play. Lamoureux to give Team USA the advantage. First shooter in round six. Lamoureux swiveling, right shot between the circles, fakes, shoots, scores! Jocelyn Lamoureux. And now it's on 20-year-old Maddie Rooney. Augusta picking it up, crossing the blue line, left wing shot, curling to her right, pulling it to the slot, fake, shoots, save Maddie Rooney! Gold medal, USA! USA wins the gold!
Awesome. We were going nuts here in studio because it was taking place while we were on the air. I mean, there was no way we could focus on anything else. It was February 22nd, banner moment for Team USA and, of course, for women's hockey in the United States. Ralph Strangis with the calls, the critical calls on the Westwood One radio network. It was a victory tour that ensued after that wonderful moment in Pyeongchang. And maybe you've seen the members of Team USA at hockey games being honored. They've had TV interviews. Everywhere you look now, they're all over social media. And it's great to see them be in the spotlight and get the attention they deserve for what happened in Pyeongchang. We had been trying for 2 weeks to get a hold of a member of Team USA. We'd been going back and forth about getting Monique Lamoureux, a forward for the team, who scored that third period goal on the show with us. Finally, over the weekend, I was able to talk to her on the phone. She was very gracious, answered all of my questions, and I'm thrilled for you to hear our conversation. Monique, you finally get home after these weeks and months away. Just out of curiosity, how long were you away from home?
On an Olympic year, a team centralizes, and so we've been in Florida training since August. And so we got Christmas break and Thanksgiving break, but other than that, we've essentially been gone for like 7 months now. And so we went to South Korea January 31st, I think it was, and now I'm just getting back to the States over the last week, so it's been quite the whirlwind, but definitely nice to finally sleep in our own beds, see our dogs, and be with family and friends.
Ah, that's awesome. It must feel like heaven to be back home. How much of your family, in addition to your sister who's on the team, was able to make the trip to Pyeongchang?
So our parents were able to come, both of our husbands, and then we had an aunt and uncle that also came. And then Joss and I have four older brothers. None of them were able to come. Two of them are in their hockey seasons over in Europe. One is coaching currently, and then one's stationed in the Air Force. So none of them were able to come, but they definitely followed us closely throughout the tournament, and we were communicating throughout the whole thing.
Ah, that's awesome. The beauty of technology that we can stay connected halfway across the world. Certainly so much changed. The attention intensified after you won the gold medal as a team. So what stands out to you about these couple of weeks since that amazing night in Pyeongchang?
Oh, it's just been the amount of support that we've received every place that we've been has just been amazing. When you think of winning a gold medal, you think of the immediate aftermath of celebrating with your teammates, being with your friends and family, and you know there's going to be a lot of media and attention afterwards, but you really don't think of the magnitude of it. That's not what you're preparing for, or you're thinking about. And so to have this media tour over the last 2 weeks and to be all the places we've been and all the experiences we've had with our teammates has just been, it's been amazing.
I'm pretty sure I heard your sister doing an interview on Rangers Radio with Kenny Albert. So it's been great to see you guys all over the place on TV, doing interviews, getting some of the attention. But what are a couple of the pinch me moments for you personally, Monique, where you thought, oh my gosh, is this really happening?
Well, we were on Ellen, and then we did Jimmy Fallon. And then the most touching one was when we were at the stadium series at the Naval Academy, and the amount of pride that city has for the Naval Academy, and just proud Americans that were there, and people that might not be hockey fans or sports fans, but are just American, just happy, like just proud Americans. And so the reception that we got when they introduced us at the second intermission, and this the USA chants we were receiving, I think that was probably the most special moment.
It sounds absolutely incredible. We're spending a few minutes with Team USA forward Monique Lamoureux, who was part of one of the best moments of the Olympic Games as the Americans beat Canada in a shootout to win gold in women's hockey. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We saw after Team USA won the Women's World Cup, Carly Lloyd became a household name, and the members of that team were in the spotlight for a short time, but it was so neat for everyone to get to know who they are and how hard they've worked to get to that point. Now you all are in the same situation. So, Monique, what does it mean to you to have your sport and your teammates get all this attention, essentially be in the spotlight solo for just a while, even if it does only last for a couple of weeks or a month?
I think our hope is that it's able to create a springboard for the growth of women's hockey in the U.S. I think when you think back to major female sporting events, you think of the 99 World Cup team, mm-hmm. and those Julie Foudy, Mia Hamm, Brandi Chastain, and then you think of the 98 team in Nagano, or 20 years since the first women's hockey gold medal at the Olympics. And so you think of those major sporting events. I mean, you think of the Williams sisters and how those events have helped those particular sports on the women's side. And so we hope that our gold medal and in the way in which we won in such dramatic fashion, where we hope that that's a springboard and gets more girls to play hockey. And it's not just about the sport. It's the lessons it teaches you, when you're done playing sport, when you go into your professional careers and the confidence it creates. And so I think that's what our hope is.
Such an amazing platform for however long it lasts. So ever since I found out that we were going to have you on the show, I've gotten just super excited to share my experience watching your shootout and your victory in Pyeongchang. So as all my listeners know, because of the hours that we're on the air, literally, the moment you all went to your shootout against Canada in South Korea was the moment I started my show that night. I wasn't able to talk about anything else. I was too excited. All I could do was try to keep listeners updated on what was happening as you and Canada went back and forth. Just incredible drama. I know probably a lot of it is a blur for you, Monique, but what do you remember about the end of that game? So the third period when you tied it, then going on into the overtime, and finally the drama of the shootout.
Well, so that Jocelyn won the shootout, and then I scored the tying goal. So I was on the bench for the shootout, and people have asked how stressed were you on the bench, and to be honest, my response has been, I can't imagine what our parents were going through sitting in the stands having to watch it. But when I think it was Gigi went and scored, she was on the first, our first shooter, and she went and scored and she fell and still was able to put the puck in the net. And then I think it was Kessel was our fourth shooter, and she was, I think, probably in the most pressured situation of the shootout. Because had she not scored and they did, it was game over. And so she went and scored, as I've seen her do many times, having played with her in high school and against her in college. And then when it went to the sixth shooter, so then at that point, after the five, it's sudden death. So it's one for one. And Jocelyn knew that she was getting the nod if it went to the sixth shooter when Kessel was going. And so when she went in, I knew she was going to pull something a little more fancy than what I would typically do. So it is for her to go in and pull that move off flawlessly when her and I have practiced that move for probably about 6 years with our college coach, Peter Elander. We had different drills we would do around cones, and that just happened to be one of the ones that we had worked tirelessly on and failed at miserably many times. And that in the most pressure moment of her career to pull it off absolutely flawlessly is just, I think it just goes to show the mental toughness and the confidence to go in and do something like that in such a big moment.
So you're not surprised at all that that's the move Jocelyn pulls out in the Olympics?
No, not at all. She actually, in the Russia game, she did, there's different ways to do that move. And so she did it in the Russia game and went to her backhand. And so, and then in this game, she went to her backhand and then back to her forehand. And at that point when she was on her backhand, she probably could have gone backhand five hole or back to her forehand. She had her choice of where she wanted to put the puck in the net. And so to be able to pull it off that flawlessly is like, you just don't see it. You don't see that often. You're having to squeak pucks by the goalie, and to have that much time and space to put the puck in the net is pretty unbelievable.
Absolutely iconic, Monique. We're talking about a moment like Brandi Chastain in the 1999 World Cup, and I know you remember it.
I told Jocelyn, I go, that shootout move or that goal is now going to be, it's going to be compared to the importance of the 99 World Cup team and that goal in that moment. I think it's basically the exact same thing.
I am so, so happy that I saw it live and that it was happening while I was actually on the radio. We're spending a few minutes with Team USA forward Monique Lamoureux, finally home after a whirlwind victory tour following their big gold medal shootout win over Canada in Pyeongchang. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's back up the truck a little bit, Monique. You guys lost to Canada in overtime in Sochi 4 years ago. It was the Canadians who came back and tied the game in the third period to force the sudden death. What's happening on your bench in the third period in Pyeongchang, knowing that you have to get that great equalizer? Otherwise, you don't even get to overtime, considering your history with Canada.
Yeah, I think when you think back to, the last 8 years that I've been on the team, or almost 10 years now, our team's been extremely successful on non-Olympic years. We've won four world championships in a row. We've been extremely successful except on that Olympic stage. And so going into the third period, I think the attitude and the confidence in the locker room was very different than my previous two Olympic gold medal games. And there was just this confidence in the locker room that we were going to find a way to get it done. And there wasn't a nervousness in the locker room. There wasn't that energy. Just we knew we were going to find a way. And I think the third period was our best period of hockey. And so when the pressure really came on, that was when we started to play our best hockey, I thought. And so on that particular shift, when I got the puck at the blue line and had a breakaway basically uncontested from the blue line, and it rarely ever happens, let alone in a game like that. And so to be able to go in, have the time to pick my head up and pick my spot to shoot it and have it go in is just to be able to contribute in that way is, I mean, that's what you work so hard for. You hope to help be the margin of victory for your team. And so to be a part of it is, it's pretty special.
Unforgettable is what it is. Monique Lamoureux, whose sister Jocelyn, as you heard her talk about, scored the goal, the final goal in the shootout. But Monique got them to tie the game in the third period. Really amazing to hear her describe all of that as she talks about picking her head up, realizing she had time and scoring the goal that sent them into first sudden death and then a shootout. Such an honor to be able to talk to her over the weekend. And she was so gracious with her time, gave me as much time as I wanted to answer every question I have. And so coming up, what do you do after you win a gold medal? After 10 years of playing for Team USA, what comes next? And also, how good to finally beat Canada. The rest of my conversation with Team USA forward Monique Lamoureux is straight ahead. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hope that you're enjoying my conversation with Team USA forward Monique Lamoureux, who now has a shiny gold medal, along with her twin sister Jocelyn and all the Americans who were able to survive Canada in a shootout in Pyeongchang. An incredible, historical moment for women's hockey and for women's sports in the United States. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So as I begin the second part of my conversation with Monique, I wanted to ask her about the chemistry and the makeup of this particular team, because they had lost multiple times to Canada in the Olympics. And of course, the Canadians had won the last four gold medals at the Olympics. And I had seen a couple of conversations where she talked about the core group, the veterans who had been together, seven of them, who had spent the last decade playing for the red, white, and blue. But they also mixed in some younger kids. Remember the goalie, Maddie Rooney, 24 years old in that shootout where she had to stop that last shot from Canada. So I asked Monique, how much did mixing in these young kids, this youth on Team USA, make a difference for you guys in South Korea?
Yeah, we've alluded to it in other interviews, and how we have had such a great mixture of veteran leaders and youth on our team. And what's so great about the younger players on the team that are up and coming and have been on the national team for a year, 2 to 3 years now, is they've won at every level within the national team program. All of them have won at the U18 World Championships. All of them have won World Championships and Four Nation Cups. And so they find a way to win, and they know how to win. And then I think with that mixture of us being successful, just not on the Olympic stage, and just I think us shedding light on what it's like to lose on that stage. If you lose at a world championship, that sucks, but you get a crack at it a year later, and it does not compare one bit to the loss in an Olympic gold medal game. And so that mixture of success, heartbreak, and young and old, I think was just a perfect mix for our team.
How much does it matter that it was Canada, Monique?
I think when you think about playing in that gold medal game with the history and the rivalry that we have with Canada, you automatically picture playing Canada. That's just the way it is. When you think back to the last 20 years that it's been an Olympic sport, every single world championship and Olympic Games has been a gold medal game with the U.S. and Canada, minus, except for in 2006 when it was a Canada-Sweden final. So you got 19 out of 20 years with the same two teams battling out for the same prize every single time. And so you can't help but think, okay, if we're in a gold medal game, we're playing Canada, and that's the best team. And so that rivalry, I think it's one of the best rivalries in sports, because what team year after year for 20 years continues to battle against each other without any other teams really getting in except for that one time?
Every single gold medal since women's hockey was added to the Olympics in 1998 has been won by either the United States or Canada. That's awesome. I know that you've done this for a long time, Monique, but what does it mean to you to represent your country, to wear the red, white, and blue?
It means the world. Our team takes great pride and honor in being able to throw on that USA jersey, and it's not something we take for granted. It's not something we take lightly, and we're extremely proud to be able to represent our country. We understand that we're a part of something much bigger than ourselves. It's not just even on the Olympic stage, but yes, we're the hockey team, but we're a part of USA. We're a part of a team, and that a country is behind us. And so to be able to do that is something I'm very honored to have done at the Olympics three times. And when you get towards the end of your career, and the amount of times that I get to put on that jersey is becoming less and less, I think you cherish those moments even more.
I know that it was fantastic to have the entire country get wrapped up in Team USA in women's hockey in that incredible finale in which you won the gold medal. We're spending a few minutes with Monique Lamoureux, who is part of Team USA and went on an incredible victory tour once they returned to the United States. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So how do you top that, Monique? What comes next after a decade playing for your country and finally winning that gold medal?
Well, I think a lot of us will really take the next couple months to regroup, take advantage of the opportunities that we're going to get from this, but also kind of reevaluate what we want to do moving forward. I know for my husband and I, we would like to start a family immediately if we can. And then I think that's probably my first priority right now. And then after that, if I still have the itch and passion to continue to play and still love the game, then I'll probably continue to play. So as long as I have a love for the game and have fun doing it and training, then I'll probably continue to play.
So you can be like Serena and you can win a tournament while you're pregnant, Monique?
Yeah, no kidding. We went to an event at MSG a couple nights ago, and it was called Tiebreak Tens, and both Venus and Serena were there, and she was getting interviewed about her comeback, and it was just to hear her shed light on her experiences and even she's arguably the greatest athlete of all time, male or female. And when she's talking about confidence and believing yourself and setting your expectations high, and it's just to hear those words come from her, I think is pretty inspiring for all, but especially for myself, who's hoping to be a mom soon and then probably continue to keep playing.
I love that we as women can do both. That's awesome. Monique, one more thing before I let you go. You've been so generous with your time. I read a Q&A in which you were asked about the best advice you've ever been given. And you cited something that your grandmother had told you, to whom much is given, much is expected, which actually comes out of the Bible. So when you think about the perspective, big picture for you, growing up playing hockey, working toward a goal, a decade with Team USA, culminating with this amazing experience in Pyeongchang. What does that advice from your grandmother mean to you?
I think for myself and my sister, we've been extremely fortunate to have the opportunities we've had and to have the support system that we've had growing up. And when I think of to whom much is given, much is expected, I think of the platform that we've been given as hockey players and figuring out the greater purpose and wanting to make change with that platform. And it's not just about hockey. We won in the last spring, we won an equitable support battle with USA Hockey, and I think that's something that we're very passionate about in bettering the landscape for the next generation, not just in sport, but in just life in general. And so I think that's what that quote means to me, and something that finding your passion and making change and bettering the landscape for others.
Wonderful advice. Sage advice. Gotta love the grandmothers, to be sure. Monique Lamoureux, part of the 2018 Olympic champion, Team USA women's hockey. It was such an amazing experience to be part of it as a fan. And I just thank you so much for your time. It was really good to talk to you. Enjoy being home.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Maybe one of my favorite interviews that I've done. And we've talked to Olympians before, and certainly female athletes before. I never expected Monique to give me that much time, but I should have known, because this is not something that she and her teammates have become used to or have even become hardened by. They don't do interviews nonstop. It's been a decade of relative anonymity for the women's hockey team. Even though they've been in the Olympics, they've lost and they've had painful defeats and failures. You know, the United States pays attention to winners. That's what we do here. When it comes to female athletes, generally the attention span is even shorter and even more limited. And so this, it was so awesome to be able to pick her brain and to hear not just about the moments in Pyeongchang, but about how she built up to this point, about the makeup of the team, representing her country, what she's going to do now. And of course, the pinch me moments. How about that story? Being at the Naval Academy in Annapolis and being honored and hearing the USA chants. I mean, I get chills just thinking about it, and I wasn't even there. So hope that you will pass on the word. We're going to put this on our YouTube channel immediately, if not sooner. And we want more people to hear what Monique had to say. Just another wrinkle to the fact that she has got her twin sister on the team with her, and they both played such a critical role in winning that gold medal in Pyeongchang. Again, I will never forget being on the air while the shootout is taking place. And I know a lot of you were listening and watching it along with us. So thanks again to Monique and to Team USA and producer Tom, who chased them down for weeks. All right, coming up next, we'll get back to your thoughts on Case Keenum and the free agent dominoes that are already falling prior to free agency actually beginning. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you like that interview, please let me know. And also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Even more around the world now that we have yet another way you can listen to CBS Sports Radio. So let's see if we can count them. Regular radio with our 300-plus affiliates, the app, the CBS Sports app, and there are other apps too, the radio.com app, the TuneIn radio app, the iHeart radio app. I've lost track of how many ways that you can find us on an app. You can also stream on our website, cbssportsradio.com. And recently, we've added the SiriusXM option. So whether you have Sirius, it's channel 213, XM channel 201. It's also available on the SiriusXM app, which is what I use in my home. You have no excuse for not tuning in. And I know many of you do, not just in the United States and Canada, but also in Europe. We hear from Australia. We do also have men and women, servicemen and women who are stationed abroad and serving their country, able to connect and listen to sports talk by following our show, which is, I mean, that's an incredible compliment. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our phone number, 855-212-4227. Yes, it's true. I brought a full jar of peanut butter to work with me because I needed that to go along with my very healthy apple. It's my new snack. Apple and peanut butter. I should have known that if I tweeted about peanut butter, you would respond. But if you wouldn't mind, if you heard my conversation with women's hockey gold medalist Monique Lamoureux, I'd love if you would give me a tweet back, A-Law Radio. And of course, include your thoughts on Case Keenum to the Denver Broncos. That's the big news that broke just before we went on the air. You know, it's kind of fun when the East Coasters, the early risers, wake up to get ready for work for their Tuesday. we will be delivering the news that Case Keenum will be joining the Denver Broncos and that Allen Robinson will be a member of the Chicago Bears, barring some other change between now and the start of the free agent period. So I guess there is a possibility that there could be amendments or adjustments to some of the news if any of these guys or the teams decide that it's not the right thing because the contracts haven't officially been signed and can't be official until the new year begins, 4 o'clock Eastern time on Wednesday. So find me on Twitter. Let me know what you think. And also we've got pictures up of our QBs, a couple of the different QBs on our Facebook page After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we're having some weird issues with the algorithms. I think you can see it on Facebook, but check it out. You're looking for Case Keenum's face. You're looking for Kirk Cousins smiling because he's going to be getting a massive contract. You're looking for the serious Drew Brees, who almost looks like he might be about to run the 40 in the combine or go through the drills. Anyway, so if you can see it on Facebook, please let us know. After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And also for you college basketball fans, while you're on Facebook, while you're on Twitter, the link to join the After Hours Bracket Challenge is up. It's live. You should be able to find it. No trouble. It's pinned to the top of our Facebook page. You know what? I'm going to pin it to the top of my Twitter page, too, so that you can find it on Twitter, but also our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. My God, I feel like all I've done is promote for the last 5 minutes. Anyway, you get it. Just go to our social media. Lots of goodies there. Jeffrey liked our interview with Monique, says that was a great interview. Thank you, Jeff. That means a lot to us. All right, so as I was talking about signing on the dotted line and how these contracts can't be official until we get to free agency, how trades are also not official until we get to free agency, what popped into my mind is the situation with Aqib Talib. Originally, he wasn't headed for the Los Angeles Rams. Actually, he was headed to the Bay Area and the San Francisco 49ers, which, of course, now are planning to sign Richard Sherman. John Lynch did a one-on-one with Steve Wyche of the NFL Network. I happened to catch it. And John explains exactly why there was an about-face with Aqib Talib.
We worked aggressively to try to come to a deal with Denver. We did. We came to an agreement with Denver. And then it became apparent quite quickly, you know, as when you're traded, it can be a surprise. And I think for Aqib, he was kind of taken aback. It wasn't that he didn't want to be a 49er. It's that he didn't want to be traded. And if he was traded, he wanted to be a couple places. And so could we have played hardball? Yeah, he was, you know, at that point we had executed a trade. But, you know, we're about people who want to be here. And we've got great respect for Aqib, and we still do. Just didn't work out. So instead we took it back to John Elway and I and just had a conversation and said, look, go back out to the market. We're not going to execute this thing and finish it. And then, you know, I've always been a believer that things work out for a reason. And when Richard Sherman became available, I said, maybe here's our reason. And fortunately, we were able to get that done.
So how about that? John Lynch didn't have any hard feelings. He didn't get upset about it. They just realized it wasn't the right thing. Aqib Talib didn't want to be there and had other places that he would prefer to be. And so John Lynch and John Elway decided, you know what, let's go ahead and go back to the free agent drawing board. And it turns out that while Aqib Talib lands with the Rams, then John Lynch is able to convince Richard Sherman to stay in the NFC West and go simply from Seattle to San Francisco. So that's what's kind of talking about there, which is cool. So John Lynch, the general manager of the Niners on the NFL Network, in a conversation he had with Steve Wyche, who is a guest on the show. Steve's great. We'll have to talk to him again soon. Meanwhile, Aqib sounds like he is happy with the decision to land in Los Angeles.
I've been traded before, so it's not like this my first time this is happening. I think that's kind of what makes us pros, man. We can handle change fast, you know. So it's sad in the sense to, you know, lead that locker room, man, lead them coaches, man. I had a good relationship with John Elway, you know, so, but it's a business at the same time, man. So I look at it like, man, my final chapter of my NFL career, man, that fourth quarter, man. Mm-hmm. And what better place to do it in LA, man, with that market, man, with Wade Phillips, man, with a young energetic corner on the other side of me, man. He'd bring that youth back to me. Man, it's a great quarterback, man. Todd Gurley. Mm-hmm. Man, it's a great situation in my opinion.
So Aqib Talib reuniting with his former defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. They obviously worked together in Denver for a Super Bowl win. And it's kind of interesting to think about the defense for the Seattle Seahawks that was so dominant and helped the Seahawks get to two consecutive Super Bowls and win one of them. And then also the Broncos. I mean, when your defense has a nickname, that's something special. And those are Super Bowl winning defenses that have now kind of broken up and the pieces have moved in different directions. Certainly helps the rest of the NFL when you've got Super Bowl champs that fan out and then join other teams. But also, you know, it's an adjustment for the teams that are left behind and the players that are left behind. And certainly we've heard some reaction from inside the Seahawks locker room, as well as reaction from the Broncos. So no more Legion of Boom and no more no fly zone. They're going to have to come up with different nicknames. 855-212-4227. That's our phone number. And it's toll free, brought to you by Geico. You need a quick way to save money? Well, Geico can help you out. Switch to Geico for your car insurance. Or if you need homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too, you can get it all at geico.com. So Jeff posted on our Facebook page and says, it's a lot of money for a small amount of success. Not much talent to work with in Denver compared to Minnesota. And I believe he's referring to Case Keenum, since Keenum's the only guy going from Minnesota to Denver. But Jeff, unless I missed it, I haven't seen the terms of the deal. I could be wrong. Maybe I just didn't see them before I went on the air and it hasn't popped up yet. But I actually am really interested to know how much Keenum is going to make, how much the Broncos are going to pay him. Because again, I haven't seen it. Again, it might have popped up somewhere. If you've seen it on Twitter, please send me the tweet. Please let me know what you've heard. But Adam Schefter didn't have it in his column or in any of his tweets. And I haven't seen it on the NFL Network either. And I've got it up here in studio. So that's kind of an interesting question. I'm sure that the rest of the NFL free agents and their representation, they're anxious to know what the Broncos are paying Keenum as well. Remember, he did not get the franchise tag because the Vikings decided he wasn't their choice for franchise QB. But the franchise tag would have paid him $23 million. No doubt, if they have the opportunity, they're going to offer Kirk Cousins more than that. 23 isn't even what Alex Smith is making in Washington. And then Jimmy Garoppolo, 27 and a half in San Francisco. We think Cousins is going to make upwards of 30. So where does Keenum fall on the spectrum, the free agent QB spectrum? All right. So again, Twitter, Facebook, our phone number too. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're halfway through After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.